gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the perving out on Jackie all day today, Day? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Calm down. You're going to see her live in person tomorrow. We're all doing debate coverage at 4 p.m. Pacific. We're doing a, I don't know, almost primetime version of this mess
thing.
Whatever it is we here. Do. Right. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, except I'll be dressed like a girl. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. All right, StephanieMiller.com. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaBoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, like Deborah did. Did you see what she did? She made a portrait of Max and Fred.
I saw that. They're up on your Facebook page.
Oh, my God. You have to go look. Deb says, happy belated birthday, Steph. My husband turned me on to your show. Hello. Three-way. And I love it. I also know that you're such a dog lover. I created a couple of portraits of Max and Fred for you. They're hilarious. Did you see them, Jim? They're in Max and Fred are both in suits and ties, and they're drinking cocktails. Romantic and athletic. Wow!
That's when Uncle David is taking care of me. Dressing their tuxedos. And
oh, this is good as the dog playing poker thing. Oh, it's so cute. Go look at them. Speaking of which, unsolicited testimonial, Chris.
Okay.
Terry in Albuquerque writes, hi, Steph. You know, yesterday, I believe, we're a cleaning product. Because now that we're on current. Because somebody wasn't getting anything done, and now she cleans the whole house while we're on current. Because we can be on the TV while she's cleaning. Hmm. So we're a dessert topping, a cleaning product, and now a kennel cough
Maybe
cure.
I should invite her to my house.
We're a kennel cough cure. Yeah.
That's all right.
Hi, Steph. That's a picture of Mavis. Hi, Mavis. She says, hi, Steph. This is Terry in Albuquerque. Hi, Steph. Listening to your show this morning, as I do every morning, and playing with Mavis, my new little Welsh corgi I rescued from the local shelter. She's a Sheltie from a Sheltie shelter.
A Sheltie
Remember?
Shelter.
She called yesterday. I thought you want to know that she likes you, too. I can tell because even though she has kennel cough, she stops coughing when your voice comes on and stares at the speakers as if she understands everything you say. That's because Mavis is such a smart girl. Okay. My other dog, Emma, also a rescue dog, doesn't care one way or the other about you, but she's not quite as smart as Mavis, so don't worry about her. Stupid Emma.
She's a Republican dog.
Stupid Emma. Take too long to explain the math to you anyway. Love you, your show, Hal, John, Chris, Jim, and Jody. Oh, Jody Foster, my girlfriend.
Oh, Jody, yes.
Who I'm dating. Mavis's photo is attached and listening to your show. That's Mavis listening.
Oh.
Mavis is so
Woogie, woogie,
woogie. Mavis is smart. All right, in a second you'll know what Chris was doing over there. Because sometimes we need planning for the little skits that come up.
Yeah, we haven't done skits in a while.
Well, this is the headline.
Okay.
Wealthy donors fleeing campaign. Mitt Romney's campaign may be suffering in more than just the battleground states. Fox Businesses. Fox Business reporting.
Are they still on the air?
That some wealthy donors who have made financial commitments to the Romney campaign are reneging and instead opting to send their money to the Republican House and Senate candidates who see they as having a better chance of winning.
Yeah, they've written off several states.
Cue the music. Yeah, Tommy actually sent us the picture from the Titanic with the rats. The rats running up there. There they go. Bye-bye. They're little Romney donors. There they go. Okay.
They're all named Sheldon.
Where did you find them? I was like, get me rat squeaking.
That's the best I could do on such short notice.
When you see Chris not paying attention, just a panic look over there, that's what it is.
Well,
I've asked him for, because you don't want to experience the Don Imus moment.
No, I do not.
There's a classic story in radio that Don Imus asked his producer for a sound effect, and he said, I don't have it. And he said, it.
Oh,
crap
that's
it.
Right.
Crap
yes.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, yes.
Right. Or, I presumably.
You're fired.
Well, I just crapped that because it wasn't very good.
Good on you. Close enough.
Also, mice might fly out of my butt.
Yes.
All right. So getting ready for the big debate tomorrow. Wow. How about that whiny little biatch, Paul Ryan? baby's upset. Oh, baby. Whoa. We should all send him rattles and like a mobile. Little mobile.
A crib. He needs a playpen.
Baby, he's a little colicky. Paul Ryan on Sunday doubled.
We need to keep him behind his gate, you know, that they keep at the top of the stairs so that the toddler doesn't fall down the stairs.
It's a baby gate.
Yeah.
Who needs a baby gate? Baby does. Paul Ryan on Sunday. What a little weird.
Nixon had Watergate. Paul Ryan has Babygate.
Babygate. Babygate. This is what this story is. It's yeah. Babygate. Paul Ryan on Sunday doubled down in his attack on the press, telling donors at a closed-door fundraiser that we're not expecting the media to tell our story, and they're not.
Your story is you're losing.
Yeah, that's the story. Oh, yeah, they are telling that story. Oh, did you mean another story?
One
with facts and figures.
Oh, he told donors at a fundraiser in West Hartford, Connecticut.
Oh.
Oh, but he was dressed in his little Lord Fauntleroy outfit. What a fancy fundraiser. We can't expect the president to play fair. He's not.
By talking about...
Yeah, here we go.
We can't expect the president to play fair. He's not. And we're not expecting the media to tell our story. They're not.
Okay. That was me. I didn't want to actually
fire.
Suck my thumb.
Oh, they're telling your story, all right. It's one you don't want to hear.
Yeah.
We'll have Hal do that sound effect tomorrow.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. He's good at that.
He's very good at that.
That means we're going to have to do it ourselves. And that means we have to rally the generosity of our fellow citizens who want this country to get back on the right track.
By which they mean Sheldon.
He then also appeared on Fox News on Sunday and says it goes without saying that there's definitely media bias. He's going to be just spinning on his back in a Walmart parking lot before the end of this campaign. Red in the face.
Chris Wallace isn't part of the liberal media, by
the way. Yeah, he's Chris Wallace. You're losing. But you're losing. But you're not winning.
Why can't you give me any of the math?
It would take too long. It needs to be boring.
I'm just saying Mittens better keep a bunch of quarters to put in the little righty machines in front of Walmart. Just to keep them.
I'm not really
the righty machines?
The little whatever, the little ponies and something.
Yeah.
Something just keep them placated. Just to make it through the... Oh.
He needs to take him to Chuck E. Cheese is what he needs to do.
Are we there yet? Are we there?
Isn't it wonderful, Eddie?
Is it 2016 yet? I want to be president.
He is so gunning for 2016. It is so transparent.
Okay. But for now, Eddie, you're going to have to go back to Congress.
Yes. Isn't that wonderful, Eddie?
Oh, isn't that great?
I won't go! I won't!
Run along. Run along.
You can't!
It's like this with Cindy Lou Who. Yeah. Run along now. Back to bed.
Just throw him in the ball crawl at Chuck E. Cheese.
There's a light that's broken on this campaign. We're going to take it to our shop and fix it up there and then bring it back here. Now, you run along to bed.
Why, my sweet little tot, the big Santa Claus lied. There's a light on this tree that won't light on one side.
Oh,
so I'm taking
or
it home
side.
To my workshop, my dear.
Yes?
I'll fix it up there. Then I'll bring it back here.
He has kind of little blinky Cindy Lou Who eyes, doesn't he, Paul Ryan? The ground, these zombie-eyed Granny Starver?
Yeah, all he needs is a couple of little antenna, like the Who's had.
But Santa Claus, why can't I be vice president?
Just give him a drink and just run along.
Here's your water. Yeah. We need Samuel L. Jackson to tell him to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Shut up, okay? He said, I think most people in the mainstream media are left of center, and therefore they want a very left of center president versus a conservative president like Mitt Romney. He's severely conservative, you guys. Ryan's spokesperson later emailed Politico about the Sunday show appearance, writing, Paul Ryan did not blame the media. Okay. All right.
You say so.
Yeah,
all right. Aha! No. You were listening to Raul Payam, different guy completely.
Yeah. He said, and I quote, goes without saying, there's definitely media bias. But that was not blaming the media.
No.
Stating the obvious.
He wasn't saying it was a bad thing.
Sheesh.
Jeez.
Jeez, uh-huh. Jeff in Columbia, South Carolina. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Steph. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Listen, my wife and I love you. What do you call it? We wish that you had gotten Joe Scarborough's show, but we like this show just as well. But
Oh Jesus! They said after my after our audition
Jesus.
At MSNBC.
Oh, sweet Jesus!
Yeah, because yesterday you were talking about that wonderful fellow John Sununu, and I have a little bit of dirt for you. 55 years ago, I went to a military school up in Long Island called LaSalle Military Academy, and John Sununu, in his senior year, he's about 4 years older than I am, was the commandant of cadets, and LaSalle.
Ooh, that sounds so Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah. He was just the big wheel there, and I don't have to tell you that after going there for a year, I begged my parents to take me out of there, because the hazing a la Romney style was absolutely mind-boggling.
Wow.
But when our boy Sununu graduated, he had an appointment to West Point, but he chose to go to Massachusetts Institute of Technology, which is a tough one to get out. But it's kind of funny now, MIT and MITT. This guy is without a doubt a card-carrying crazy. And now that I live in South Carolina, where being a liberal is a dirty word, I got to tell you, I hope that they really out this guy, Sununu, because Sununu has never played it straight with anybody his whole life, and the man is just an out-and-out crazy.
Did you hear his latest that the president didn't kill bin Laden fast enough?
Well, that's why I called, because I thought to myself, I said, this guy's the biggest chicken hawk that ever walked. Uh-huh. I mean, it was a big deal back in the 50s to get out of a major military school as the head of the the Corps of Cadets. And anybody that did that was pretty much guaranteed an appointment to one of the service academies. But he chose not to go. And obviously,
he's one of those armchair heroes that had all the advice for the president after he killed bin Laden. You know, shot him in the wrong eye, and I don't know.
Whatever!
I would have done it different. I would have
done it like this.
Yeah, I would have done that with my hands.
Yeah.
Okay. 17 minutes after the... I don't know what that was. It was like a macho, like, guy, like, bar fight.
Is that how you think guys...
I don't know.
I've never seen guys do that.
Yeah. I'm sorry, no, that was more of a Broadway shimmy. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's really not how guys act in a bar fight. Seriously.
Maybe West Side Story.
Gangs like that.
Marcus Bobkin and Bachman in a bar. That's on that.
You're a jet, you're a jet all the way.
Bring it on, bring it on. Come on.
All things considered, I couldn't be better. I'm a fan.
Thank you. Okay, 18 minutes.
I'll hit you with my corn dog.
God.
That he would. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm very embarrassed for you for what goes on your show. It's just dirty stuff, and you all laugh so stupidly like a bunch of idiots.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Charlie Pierce coming up from Esquire.com. He just wrote a piece from New Hampshire, which apparently is a battleground state. However, President Obama's up 54-39.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
That's not so badly.
The aforementioned Sununu was just on the TV machine.
Not helping.
Nope.
Yeah. Not very battlegroundy. Oh, well. and we were saying Elizabeth Warren did very well last night in the debate. We'll talk to Charlie about that as well.
Yep.
Did you see the Senator Fold? He was like, well, who's your favorite Supreme Court justice? He's like, Scalia? Everyone's... And then he's like, Sotomayor, and also other names that will make me sound... Dr. Flarn? Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking for Dr. Flarnhorn.
Oh.
Yeah, he was just making up names that would make him seem not so right-wing, right? He was like, after he knew Scalia was a bad choice, and he was like, I don't know.
Dr. Furrier.
Justice Castro.
Justice Flarnhorn? I'm just guessing here. I don't really even know who they are. All right. But as you know, Politico wrote a piece we'll get into later, The Parallel Universe, when Mitt Romney leads all the polls. Because now they don't, because the polls are all wrong, as you know.
Of course.
Yeah. Exactly.
Math is a liberal bias.
Sure.
Obviously. Mm-hmm. Lee in Mississippi, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lee.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you?
Good.
It's good to speak with you. I was just listen to you on occasion, not all the time, but just was curious about what your response was and would be to President Obama's response to the attack that occurred on the American embassy in Benghazi, and his decision to go on television that night, basically as I think his comment was, "I'm just here for eye candy." And was that appropriate, in your opinion?
Are you talking about his appearance on The View?
Yes.
That wasn't at night.
That wasn't at night. That was the day of.
Oh, no, you're correct. I think that night that he actually...
I think he should have spoken more prematurely like Mitt Romney did. before he had all the information. Sure. That would have been better.
Excuse me? All the information? They actually had information several weeks going into it from the ambassador stating that he was in fear for his life.
Right. Well, obviously, the investigation is not complete yet as to what, you know, all of the, you know, the causes behind this. But are you denying that there has been widespread violence over there in relation to this video?
I mean, they don't know. Denying that he actually
She asked you a question, ma'am.
And by the way, the administration has said that this is obviously a terrorist attack. They're just trying to get all of the details about it. What's your point?
My point is, what is your view on his response and lack of
response? I think his response has been
a diplomatic leader,
cool-headed and waiting until all the facts are in, unlike Mitt Romney, who already has gone back on it.
Go to a fundraiser that night with basically entertainers. I believe it was okay. Jay-Z and Beyonce.
And Mitt Romney went to a very similar fundraiser that same evening as well,
Mitt
ma'am.
Romney isn't the president of the United States.
So what should he have been doing?
Yeah.
Not yet.
What should he have been doing while they're doing the investigation and gathering the facts? What should he have been, should he have, like...
Well, I mean,
Should he have flown to Libya and done the investigation himself, ma'am?
Launched another war, maybe?
I actually think he probably should have stood up as the leader of the international leader that he is supposed to be.
And said what?
One of the numerous comments and televised conference that he has made over his political career over the last 4 years and did to the U.S. people what...
The U.S. Americans?
Was for the attack.
Before all of the facts were in, ma'am?
Right, before he knows the answers. So you're aware that Mitt Romney has already come out and said that he spoke prematurely and he shouldn't have done that. He should wait until the end, that he has stopped criticizing the president. We should wait until the investigation's over.
Stephanie, actually, President Obama and his intelligence agencies already had the facts that this.
No, they did not have the facts. They
did
obviously would have, if they had known that this was going to. Really, do you think the president wanted this to happen? He deliberately wanted it to happen. Well, what's your point?
But are you in fact insinuating that he did not realize that that was a very volatile situation?
And of course
that
he did.
His ambassador, as well as the rest of the U.S.
Of course he did. I don't think anyone thought the date was a coincidence that it was on 9/11.
Right.
I mean,
excuse me.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, Lee. Don't talk to her like that, please.
That's all right. Well, you talk to me like that.
We'll have some decorum then.
All right. We're out of time.
Oh,
thank
we're
you.
Out of time.
That was delightful.
Mm.
Huh.
I believe that she, Lee, is the one that did not have decorum.
Decorum, would you? For sake, Chris.
How dare you not have decorum? I am talking here.
I am talking, and you should be listening to me.
Well, why don't you answer my question?
No!
I want that sort of tone. I'll stick with these mooks.
She did not answer any of your points.
No.
She just went on her little tirade.
No!
So,
20,
point Stephanie.
I've just stumbled.
Something's going on.
Show.
Wait a minute. You're on my side? What's happening? Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I like the humming. It shows her pleasant disposition.
Stephanie Miller.
Morning hums are what help get me out of bed.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. It's the character of Mike the Engineer, everybody. That means something's gone horribly awry. Oh, he's back. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
So perhaps we're talking to nobody right now?
Maybe. Maybe we're just talking to ourselves. Does it matter? Hey, guess what? We're having Jen Psaki on the show. And it's so weird because I brought sushi today. It's perfect. She is Obama for America traveling press secretary. You've heard her quoted in the stuff. All right. By the way, Mitt Romney, before tomorrow night's debate, says it's not about winning.
Oh.
That's because he's going to lose. He's going to lose. Of course it's not
all
about
right.
winning. Yes,
take all care
right.
now. Bye-bye, then.
It's about the trees, Mr. Whitehide. The lakes.
The end of the lakes.
Pancakes.
You see, that's what he's going to be doing, just shouting just objects at this point. All right, the president.
Lord. Who's going to put the most points on the board? No, Governor Romney, he's a good debater. I'm just okay.
Lowering the expectations game.
Consider your expectations lowered.
All right.
How low can you go?
Karen in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Miss Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Just let you know, the entire 7th District is pouring down rain here in Virginia. But it's not your regular rain.
No?
No. It is Cantor's tears because Wayne Powell came out swinging last night in that debate. And I wish I'd seen it. So it was over.
Wayne Powell.
Yeah.
All the angels
right
are
here.
Crying.
He was right here.
Wow.
He started out swinging, and all you could see was Cantor just getting, you could tell he was getting furious.
He was probably bitchy-faced.
He refused to answer any questions. He danced around, and it was all about how these attacks, that's not getting anything done in Washington. I'm sitting there thinking, oh,
yeah, but
really?
Cantor's not getting anything done in Washington.
Yeah, yeah.
Hence the attacks.
Who could be behind that?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe him.
That's awesome. I had a feeling Wayne Powell was going to, kick ass and take names.
Well, he did. He did. And then he just about wiped the floor finally with his little ass when he asked him flat out, why last year when we were facing the debt crisis and the shutdown of the government, why he voted to continue the pay for Congress, but not for any of our serving members out on the battlefield.
Yeah, yeah.
And he never did answer the question. He just kept, the attacks. And I'm thinking to myself, my daughter busts her butt every day. She works for a veterans organization that goes and pays these soldiers rent, pays for diapers for their babies, because a lot of organizations won't give them cash.
Right.
But we will send it to, or they will send it to them. And these kids, it takes about a year for their benefits to catch up with them.
Yep, yep.
So
absolutely.
If it weren't for, can I plug it?
Sure.
OperationFirstResponse.org.
That's awesome. That's
awesome. If it weren't for them, there'd be a lot of soldiers out there not getting their bills paid. But Eric Cantor works 109 days a year. Don't you wish you had that kind of a pay plan for 109 days worth of work?
Where do I get that deal? Yeah, yay for.
Well, this really s up my weekend at Mount Hog.
Mudcat is probably just whittling away on his horse, laughing his ass off, just replaying the moments in his head.
We'll talk to him about it on Thursday.
Yes, we will. Oh, thank you for that. That was very good.
Hey.
Okay, we've done this before. Mike in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Thanks so much for having me on. Hi, Jim. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
The other day, Sunday night, I was driving my son Jeremy to a basketball game. And going down 53 in Illinois, I see Joe Walsh's campaign RV broken down on the side of the road.
That's so emblematic.
It's emblematic of the entire Republican
party
this year.
That's what I thought. And then like 2 hours later, they're still there. The tow truck was just arriving. So it was a long night for him.
Well, there's yet another fine veteran that served, Tammy Duckworth, Wayne Powell, and then the little whiny weasels that they're running against.
Yeah.
Eric Cantor and Joe Walsh.
They redistricted me out of that district, so I can't even vote for Tammy. They got me in this Republican district that I'm really lonely out here in Chicago, but I really enjoyed my wife and I really enjoyed your show when you came to town.
Oh, thank you.
We just really appreciate everything that you do out here. And thanks very much. But it was kind of funny. They were there so long. And my son's like, they'll be gone. I'm like, it's Sunday night, not too much help out on the side of the road, especially for a big RV like that. And if they find out it's Joe Walsh, maybe they'll take a little longer time to get out there.
Yep, exactly. All right, honey, thank you. Oh, by the way.
What?
Speaking of Tea Party douche nozzles.
Yes.
They're losing. Alan West down by 9 points in Florida. T and then a he. Ha ha. And so guess what he did?
What?
He launched a sleazy ad.
Really?
Yeah, he is running against Patrick Murphy.
Okay.
And get this. So, in a bid to hold on to his House seat, Republican Alan West is making his opponents a mugshot from 9 years ago the focus of an ad. Patrick Murphy was 19 in college when he got in a bar fight.
Right.
That's it? That's what you got. Let's see. He was, let's see. So, the, here it is. Hang on. On a single night in February 2003... West was on Army base in Texas preparing to go to war. College student Patrick Murphy, meanwhile, was being arrested outside a Miami area nightclub after an alleged drunken brawl. Two men, a country in crisis. You decide. She was a college kid that got in a bar. And by the way, thank you. Murphy's campaign later responded by pointing out Murphy was 19 when he was arrested.
Yeah.
And West was later reprimanded for his conduct in Iraq. The only reason West escaped prosecution was he cut a deal to retire.
Right. Wow.
Please.
Oh, and have you seen the headline on Wonkette this morning?
No.
What porn star sex acts did extremely normal Alan West demand of his lady wife?
Wow. Okay. Wow.
Apparently some letters have been intercepted.
Oh, really?
Yes.
From his wife?
No.
His lady wife?
From when Alan West was in Iraq.
Oh.
Yes. He wrote letters home to his lady wife and asked if she was his porn star.
Oh. Okay. Well, my answer would have been...
Computer says no.
No, not really. No, I am not.
But the full story is at wonkette.com.
Oh, all
right. Speaking of crazy guys named Alan, Alan Keyes is on TV. Yeah!
Woo-wee! Okay,
oh, I see.
Let's go to Gene in West Virginia. Hi, Gene. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I wanted to talk about how the Republican Party keeps saying that Mitt Romney has changed his strategy.
Right.
He's using the same strategy that they used with George Bush, which was, I think, came from George Carlin, that if you can't dazzle them with your brilliance, then
baffle
them
with your whole... Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And I think that's just what they're doing. Yep. I mean, every time you see Ryan up there and he said that smart people aren't going to vote for him...
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's got it.
Yeah, exactly. Do you do that, too? I find myself at home. I just, every time Mitt Romney comes on, I just preemptively yell, boom! It's so much everything you say is boom! Just saying, it helps you get through watching a Romney sound clip.
Right, right.
Yeah, here's yet another story in Politico. Mitt Romney struggles to sharpen message. No, we've got the message.
No, it's,
we've got it. We don't want it.
No, it's
that knife is pretty dull.
Yeah,
there's no sharpening that.
That's a butter knife there.
Yeah,
it's an electoral butter knife.
That's a spork.
Mitt Romney's campaign is a Kentucky Fried Chicken spork. Yeah, I don't. These stories are just one after the other of just the Romney camp in disarray. For the third week in a row, Mitt Romney's campaign vowed to deliver a sharper, bigger message. Bigger.
Big and sharp with a spork.
Yes. In the closing stretch of the election. It's coming now. Now and now the campaign's starting. Here we
go. Wait for it. Here it comes. Here comes the sharp, big, sharp thing.
The Politico story goes, the GOP nominee trying to move beyond an erratic messaging streak, do you think? Which has seen his campaign chasing one transient news cycle after another. Romney advisors say Romney has been taking advantage of targets of opportunity offered up by Obama. Oh, I must have missed those.
Yeah.
Okay, but his message has shifted so frequently and with so little thematic continuity between attacks that it smacks more of a scramble to see what sticks than an incoherent theory in the case for a general election.
Here's a message for Mitt. Now, granted, it's from HuffPo,
yeah.
So maybe a little skewed. The electoral map, Romney 191, Obama 332 electoral votes.
Oh, dear.
That's their projection.
That's a pretty sharp message.
That's sharp. That's a big, sharp message right
Yes,
there.
It is. Romney's message, Politico writes, has veered from attacking planned defense cuts. Sorry.
Oh, boy.
To Obama's war on coal, to hammering away on the president's record on Libya, Egypt. In the space of one 72-hour period, Romney careened from brandishing the 14-year-old video, remember?
Right.
About Obama saying redistribution totally out of context, to an all-out attack on the president for musing that it's impossible to change Washington from the inside. On a conference call with reporters Monday, Romney advisors both disputed suggestions that the candidate's message has grown hazy and vowed a sharper thematic frame. It's going to be sharp. Whatever it is, Jim, it's sharp. It's going to be sharp, whatever's coming here.
Like cheddar cheese.
I love this. One poll. One pollster who worked on Romney's campaign in 2008 was more bluntly critical of Romney's apparent inability to stay on point. One day it's a dog, then a rabbit, then a squirrel. This is what the campaign has become.
See, you're going to be squirrel.
This is moose.
Throw a shiny thing.
Moose, squirrel. Oh, look, shiny keys. No, I was saying, I remember I said this a couple weeks ago, that that's what I think is he's just, the campaign's going to consist of him just pointing to objects, you know, he's already done that. Look, ooh, trees, lakes.
The trees, the lakes.
Look at the
pancakes.
Wow,
they're the right
clouds.
Heights.
Look at those clouds. He just said that last week. Look at the clouds.
Chair.
Donut.
Ah, it's a caveman lawyer.
And you know, they told Romney stop talking about budget and Medicare because people, it's too complicated. Just talk about your love of the outdoors. Remember that?
Oh yeah.
This is what we've got. And Paul Ryan going, I like air. I like air and to shoot things outside in the air.
Here's a rifle I bought for my daughter.
Okay. I bought my 10-year-old daughter a rifle for Christmas.
Wow.
Okay. Awesome.
Rifles tend to have recoil.
Sure.
When you're 10.
And girls tend to be light.
It's going to be like that scene from Airplane, her flying back into the jukebox. Yeah. Oh, dear. All right.
Bad idea.
Girl Scout flying into the jukebox. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
If you turn her on, she'll turn you on.
Oh, God.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Big week. Very exciting. Debate week. And also tonight, I get to do the most exciting thing I've ever done in my entire life.
Ever?
I can't really tell you what it is.
Oh.
I don't think I'm supposed to talk about it yet. I can talk about it tomorrow. Okay.
Perhaps you said too much.
I think you have.
Why? You don't know what I'm talking about.
People can research what's happening tonight.
They can?
Yes, they can.
Well, perhaps I spoke too soon. Okay. No, they can't.
Sure they can.
What? Okay. You'll have to tell me during the break what you mean. Bruce in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good, honey. Go ahead.
Basically, what I called about was to try to explain to these Republicans that tune into your show that say they make under $2 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they keep voting for these people like Romney and supporting these tax breaks that they get, we are paying for those tax breaks because we need roads, we need police, etc. And as long as we allow them to pay 13% when they should be paying much more.
Yep.
And they're taking it out of our pocket. They're taking health care out of the children's, away from children that, the family can't take them to the doctor. They can't feed their family better food. They can't pay for utilities, et cetera, and so forth. And they need to understand, once they get all our money, they're going to destroy us.
Yep.
So,
yep.
They really need to change their attitude about what's going on here.
Yep, I hear you, honey. By the way, sometimes I'm distracted by headlines while I'm talking. Michelle Bachmann, we must ban falafel in school lunches.
Oh, come on.
Because it's really part of the Sharia.
It's jihad food.
Takeover, yeah.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Really? Really, Bat?
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Probably would appreciate falafel? Jesus.
She claimed that falafel and other, not kidding, jihadi foods should be banned from school lunches. In the United States.
Is she aware that falafel is a mainstay of the Israeli diet?
And it's the main food that Bill O'Reilly uses to, sexually harass his underlings.
Right.
What the hell?
Take off a layer of skin.
Right? Stop it.
Is that what Andrea Macker said?
She might get beaten this time. Jim Graves is running a race up there in Minnesota, the Democrat running against her. Wow, you could finally be free of bat... And her big gay husband. Okay, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Julie in Tacoma. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, I've just been told by Kelby at Current that the falafel story is a parody.
Is it?
Damn, okay.
You can never tell with her. Okay.
It sounds like her, though, but it is a parody. It's not real.
Damn, okay.
Okay.
Right, but the other, my favorite
Stephanie?
Was, the, yes, oh, excuse me one second. My favorite story was the AP fact checker literally said they had to set a quota of, Michelle Bachmann bull
right.
During the primaries. They were like, she would become the whole story, because literally everything she said was like a pants on fire.
Right.
Wow.
So they finally just went, there's a quota of how much,
just do the most egregious
just
stuff.
The biggest ones, and then let the rest go. See, that's why she's so ripe for parody.
Yeah.
All right. Julie in Tacoma. Sorry. Hi, Jules.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
I highly recommend that everybody watch the rerun of the Warren Brown debate. Check your local listings.
Okay.
I was so upset at times that some words came out of my mouth, kind of unladylike, a la Claire McCaskill. The worst being when he reprimanded her for saying something while he was speaking. He said, "I'm not one of the students in your class."
Yeah.
Would he dare say that to a man?
No.
He'd gotten popped right in the mouth.
Yeah, and did he discuss his staffers that were doing the tomahawk chop?
It was brought up at the beginning, but he didn't. He didn't say that.
Yeah.
Anything but a jerk.
Exactly. What a jerk.
She is looking, Jen. Look at her. I don't see any feathers.
Shut up.
Yeah, she should just like dress like Pocahontas just to with him at the debate. Amber in Illinois, I got your blue corn moon right here.
Hi.
Hi, Amber.
You know that Stephanie Miller show, Wannabe Show, that The Five or whatever it's called?
Oh, I don't know.
The Five.
Oh.
The chicks on there look like hookers. They dress like hookers.
Are you saying I don't look like a hooker?
Super skanky there, and I watch them every day.
Oh, awesome.
But there's Stephanie Miller's show, Wannabe.
Okay.
Called
right.
The Five.
Okay.
They try to be five, but they suck.
We're the three.
I watched The Five.
What's that? Oh.
I think the original title was The Five Skanks. But
yes.
That wasn't
five
holding well. So.
What?
T-Bone is being a scamp.
What's he doing?
He just tweeted, "Hey, did Stephanie just tease that she's got a date with Jodie Foster tonight? Is that the most exciting thing that she's ever done?"
Jodie Foster's home. Oh, I'm screaming again. I'm screaming. Tell her to stop.
Why won't she shut up?
Everybody.
No,
should.
That's not what I'm doing tonight.
No?
I'm doing something even more exciting.
Chicken pie in the wind, pie in the wind.
Okay.
Animal, vegetable, or mineral?
I'm telling you. You ruin everything.
Theta
in Detroit.
Well,
you can't
have nice things.
You're in the exactly. Chris is why we can't have nice things, Theta.
I know. He is hilarious. And Jim Ward is so sexy.
Oh, thank you.
Oh,
well
done.
But, you know, I feel so sad they keep accusing the president of Benghazi when everybody thought the biggest trouble would be in Egypt or in Libya, but at Tripoli. Tripoli was heavily fortified. Benghazi is the other embassy.
Right.
And they didn't think that it would be a big target.
Right.
And then I don't know why they keep calling Obama a Muslim communist and a Muslim socialist. There are not very many of those people in the world.
Yeah. No. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. Kind of a subset already. So for the president to be all of that.
We hired Osama bin Laden to help throw the Soviets out of Afghanistan.
Yes,
so,
there's that.
So much for your Muslim communists.
Colby in Mississippi, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Colby.
Good morning, Ms. Miller, and everybody there.
Good morning.
I just want to apologize for the Miss Lee on behalf of Mississippi because everybody doesn't think like that down here.
Oh, really? She was in a bit of a snit this morning.
Yes, ma'am. I think a lot of people down here just don't correlate what government actually does because during the 2010 election, conservative Republicans got beat out by Tea Party Republicans in my county. So all the supervisors were like, we're going to cut everything. So they started cutting, and what happened was old people started losing, like, their food program. The library was cut its hours to 3 days, and literally 200 people showed up at the next supervisor meeting demanding that the library be open back up 5 days a week and that their old people get their three meals a day, which only costs like 85 cents per meal.
Yeah, well, you know what Romney and Ryan think. The old people just, they need too much food. Hogging all the food.
That's right.
Useless eaters.
All the cat food. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we need the library to stay open longer. You know why? So people will pronounce it library. Just saying. He seemed lovely, though. Okay, 58 minutes. Giving me that look. 58 minutes after the hour, right back with Right Wing World and more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This
this hour of the Stephanie Miller Show, brought to you by RepublicanSwine.com. Today's thought from Republican Swine: if you don't like elitists, draft dodgers, and flip-floppers, but will vote for Mitt Romney, you're a hypocrite, Republican Swine.
Wow.
I love our sponsors.
That was spicy and saucy. Okay, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Jen Psaki, Obama for America traveling press secretary, joins us.
Yep, she's in Nevada right now with the president.
Hello now. Right.
She has some inside dirt.
Yeah, coming up. Ooh. Also, Charlie Pierce, our Tuesday pal from Esquire.com. Very, very exciting. Okay, and also, I'm doing the most exciting thing I think ever in my life.
What's that?
Tonight. I can't say. I can talk about it tomorrow, though. Okay. So we have lots to get to on the big show. Oh, including I think she's here. So we'll just, yeah. Go ahead, jingle her in. The birthday girl. Yeah.
Imagine reading news.
I do.
I think she gives him in the night.
Yeah, she does.
Burns the lights.
Yep.
The only one who didn't fail and got it right was Jackie Shagner. She does the news.
Good morning, birthday girl.
Hey.
Hello.
You know what the morning crew got me for my birthday?
What?
Bigger thighs.
Oh, did they get you a huge cake or something?
They've gotten me pastries and muffins.
Aww.
And all sorts of sweetie goodies.
It's so. Okay. You're a little teen tiny thing. Your little miniature news thing. That's good. All right. You know, so, kids, I don't know if you know what Jackie Shechner got America for its birthday. Whatever. Healthcare. She got you Obamacare. Did you see this? For Breast Cancer and Awareness Month, thanks to Obamacare, every woman in America needs to see this, Jackie Shechner. What you got there.
When did I get them?
Well, this is... 47 million women with private insurance can get mammograms with no copay. 40 million women saw lifetime caps on their care lifted. Medicare provided 6 million free mammograms last year. In 2014, breast cancer survivors will no longer be denied coverage or charge more because of their pre-existing condition. That's what Jackie Shechner got you.
I got everybody free poop smushes.
Thanks, Jackie.
Thank you. Say thank you, Jackie. All right. I think
now, did you see today, we talked about this in our first little news cut-in, but for people who are just now tuning in, that the Commonwealth funded an analysis of the two health care plans, and not only would Mitt Romney's plan not be very good,
right,
it would actually leave more people uninsured than before health care reform.
Oh,
plan.
Nicely done. Nicely done.
So 72 million people would be without coverage, I think it was by 2022. It would actually not just roll everything back, but make the situation worse.
Yes, but they're part of the 47% that I don't care about.
Wow.
Pretty much. Yeah, and a big chunk of that came from the turning Medicaid into state block grant.
Yeah.
Oh, but fortunately, every other part of his campaign is going so well, Jackie. So
yeah.
I shouldn't have noticed that. Oh, this just in. Looky there. Judge blocks voter ID law
in Pennsylvania.
In Pennsylvania.
All right.
Ha-ha! Vote suppressors! Okay, sorry.
That's actually good. It'll give us at least some time to try to get people identification.
Right.
I mean, that's the problem. We're like, we're 6 weeks out. Not even. Less than 6 weeks out now. So
yeah, exactly.
It's
now,
all made everything very tenuous.
Are we very excited about our debate coverage tomorrow? We're all going to see each other
in
person.
Wait.
I know.
4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. And then, you know, I'm going to stay there and drink and watch the debate and bother you.
Well, that's what I heard. You're going to just taunt me from the sideline.
While you're still working.
You're going to destroy the sets, climb all over.
Yeah. What are you doing, Jackie? Are you sure you don't want some chardonnay?
She's going to be a little clingy. It's okay.
Hey, I don't get to see her in person very often, so I'm like a koala. She has to, like, pry me off her head. I am not your eucalyptus. Get off me.
Yeah, we're going to do the pre-debate coverage together.
Yes.
And then Shannon and I are going to do some Twitter coverage the way we did during the conventions.
By the way, I love the way you guys did that.
Yeah.
Shannon's awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys tune into the Young Turks, the listeners turn into the Young Turks in the afternoon, but she does a lot of Twitter stuff and
yep.
a lot of
yeah.
gay rights stuff, too. And she's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And really fun to work with.
And then you guys, the A-team, we're like the Pee-wees. We're like the B-team.
Yeah. No, we're not even
B-team.
They're
not going to let us in primetime. We're going to be like, I'm just right next to you. Like, we're going to be like little match girls on the... Looking on the, you know,
yeah.
and then the A-team will do post-debate coverage, right?
Yeah, we're going to do a little bit of post-debate, which for me is past my bedtime, but I will be forced to attend.
I'll bring your footy pajamas for you.
Exactly. I'll have my bunny slippers on underneath the dip.
But everybody is doing it from New York, right? The whole, everybody, the primetime lineup, yeah?
Well, the big guys, yeah.
Right, Mr. Gore.
The stepchildren are here in L.A.
I know, that's what we're going to be like. We're going to be drinking and partying. And...
Which is why we can get drunk. Nobody will notice.
The
boss is in 3,000 miles away.
We're in the party bureau in L.A. We're just, woot. Al Gore's like,
you're
only
sticking around meanwhile because the traffic's so bad. That's the only reason why you're going to hang out.
Exactly.
She's not like, oh, I want to be with you during coverage because I feel this camaraderie. She's like, it's just going to be too much traffic for me to get back to my house.
L.A., it's rush hour. I'm going to miss the whole debate. All right. I'm going to bring my wine hat and sit right next to Jackie while she's working.
Is that the hat with the funnel from the
yes.
wine glass? It's like a beer hat but with wine?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Exactly.
I picture Stephanie's having an actual box of wine on top of it.
All right. You know, every now and again, Jack, I like to do a story about somebody that has a worse love life than me. This story, it's kind of like an aw love story from Gawker. Aw, man gives girlfriend another chance after she tore his scrotum. Teeth.
With her teeth?
Deliberately, or?
She doesn't remember it.
Oh boy. One of those.
Alcohol involved a little bit. Yeah. Despite the fact that his ex-girlfriend received a suspended jail sentence for nearly ripping off his...
Yeah.
He decided to patch things up.
Literally.
With both her and them, apparently.
Wow.
He apparently still has feelings for the mother of four who last year bit a hole in his...
doing
an alcohol-infused lover's spat.
Yeah.
His balls have since been reattached by doctors. He decided to give their relationship another go. And the
Wait a minute. So it wasn't just a hole in his scrotum. He had to be reattached?
Yes.
That's more than just a superficial flesh wound.
Things were fine for a while, but after another altercation,
he
decided to finally get into it. So,
wait, what's the second altercation where he finally decided he'd had enough?
All right, you know what? Now.
That was a one-off. Well, a two-off.
All right, that was a two-off.
You know,
shame on you. Yeah, second time, shame on me.
All right, birthday girl. Thank you for staying for that sleazy story. We love you.
My pleasure. Love you guys, too.
Bye, Jackie.
There she goes, the little teeny tiny news girl. Okay. She needs some pastries, doesn't she? I apologize for that story. You know what we need to do now?
What?
We need to look at some pictures of some cute animals.
Oh.
It turns out what we do, we've been doing the right thing just
during
by accident.
During commercial breaks?
Japanese study claims viewing photos of cute animals at work may boost productivity.
Hey. Oh.
We do it every day. I'm kidding. No, don't eat the rind on the watermelon.
I love a watermelon eating cat.
Oh, no. It's an iguana washing his hands in the sink.
You know what would boost productivity in Japan? Not being irradiated by Fukushima.
Well, there's that.
Yeah. Spending time at work looking at photos of cute animals might actually be good for business if a new Japanese study holds up to scrutiny. We're way ahead of you. See, that's one point. We're winning, and we're way ahead of the Japanese.
Yeah,
cats and sinks.
We do that every morning here at the Stephanie
We're all
show.
About the LOL cats. We are.
That's how baby monkey riding backwards on a pig started. Chimpanzee riding on a Segway. What's the other one?
Chimpanzee riding on a Segway. Fancy.
Wiener dog. What was the wiener dog doing? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
Oh, God. Who knows? All right. Let's. All right. You're still looking for it?
Here it is.
Okay. Fine. We can't.
Monkey. Baby monkey. Riding on a pig. Baby monkey.
Look at him go.
Baby monkey. He's backwards. Baby monkey. Backwards on a pig. Baby monkey.
Oh, just turn around.
The world has gone insane. Can't you do?
Makes me so happy.
Yeah, both the pig and the monkey were terrified.
They look happy.
Yeah, the pig and ride.
Baby monkey, baby monkey, riding on a pig, baby monkey.
So you know what's sadder than us
is
the people that wrote that song, that saw the video of the baby monkey riding backwards on the pig, and went, you know what? We need to write a song about that.
And they made the catchiest song ever
oh,
of the year.
That
is,
that,
that's
going to
be
earworm.
In your head the rest of the day.
Oh, that earworm
and
is
your
just,
life.
Oof. It's no good. Okay. Is it too late to do Right Wing World now?
No,
probably?
We can do a couple of them.
All right, let's dive in. I'm chatty this morning. Okay, Rush Limbaugh on the...
If Romney, for example, would just go full-bore conservative.
Yes, go!
Ignore Obama.
Farther right.
Just go conservative in these debates.
Right.
And wrap it up. Now, admittedly, conservatism has something that scares a lot of people. It does put you in charge of your life.
Oh. Oh, no.
But that's the beauty of it.
We have to care for our own lives? The beauty of it. We have to take responsibility and care for our own lives? No. We're the 47%.
Take responsibility for your maid getting you your OxyContin.
We're the 47% lazy bonbon eaters. I want to just sit at home watching Baby Monkey. Okay. Glenn Beck. Oh, he has a TV thing again? Internet?
Well,
TV,
yeah, GBTV is his thing on the internet.
Sure.
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 I know Mitt Romney wasn't your first choice, nor was he mine. He was my third.
Check this out.
I am to the point to where, I think God is trying to make this so clear to us that if it happens,
yeah,
it's his finger.
Yeah.
What?
Because, boy, nothing looks good.
Right.
And yet, everybody I know who I consider a spiritual giant feels good.
Okay.
Huh. And it bothers me that I feel good because I'm like, there's no reason that I should feel good on this.
No, no. It's going to be a miracle from God. The skies will open and suddenly all the battleground states will come to their senses. And, Okay.
He sounds a little down.
No, he sounds a little crazy.
Well, there's that.
A little dispirited.
I think the finger of God is going to change everything for us.
Okay.
Sweet Jesus.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Really?
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Glenn Beck is making baby Jesus cry.
He often does that.
Okay. All right. Wow. More 17 minutes after the hour, more right-wing world, including why all the polls are wrong, except for the ones with their math.
Okay.
We continue.
Oh, dear.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
God, that woman's about as subtle as a rhinoceros horn up the backside.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the. I see what you did.
Yeah.
Because someone. While the lion is sleeping, the camel is giggling.
Yes.
Okay.
Kelby over at Current turned us on to this one.
This is a ticklish camel?
Yes.
It's an actual.
They're actually tickling a baby camel.
We posted the video up at your Facebook page.
You gotta watch this. It's at the my Facebook page, Stephanie Miller's. Yes, you gotta make that. Who's a ticklish camel? You're a ticklish baby camel. Oh my God.
Baby
that
camel.
Is so silly. It's
baby
not
camel. Oh my God.
Oh. This is what we do for a living.
Yep.
Okay.
This is what you'll get tomorrow night on Current TV.
An hour of that.
Yeah.
Oh, is it supposed to be about the debate? We're sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Apparently you have to make that sound, too, or the camel won't know it's being tickled. Can I go home now? Okay. I just want to watch cute animal videos while I'm working. All right. Here we go. Continuing right-wing world. Pat Caddell, former Democratic pollster.
Yes. Oh, he's
on the Fox News. Here he is, Pat.
We've never had a situation where the press has purposely decided to pick up a narrative from the White House to not tell people things that happened in order to support their overwhelming candidate for President, Barack Obama.
Oh.
And that's what I think we're... This is not about partisanship. This is about danger, because the reason that with the First Amendment it exists without any checks and balances on the media is because they're supposed to protect the people. That's the implicit bargain. Not that we're supposed to become a version of Pravda, which is what we've been seeing.
What?
You know what he needs? He needs to be tickled like a baby camel.
Is he still pretending to be a Democrat?
I guess.
No, they're still presenting him as a Democrat, but he stopped being a Democrat
a long time ago.
Yep.
He was a pollster for Jimmy Carter. That's how long ago he was a Democrat.
Huh. I remember him slamming Bill Clinton. In
sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's with that kind of Democrat.
Yeah.
He's a Dick Morris Democrat.
He's a Democrat paid by Fox.
And they also tend to get not the best looking Democrats
when
they're on Fox.
Really?
Yeah, they tend to get attractive Republicans and...
And then trolls.
Well, they do. That's part of their M.O. over at Fox News. Seriously.
Central casting?
Yes.
Okay.
Steve Ducey on the Fox and Friends.
I'm reading the Bob Woodward book, and it paints not a pretty picture of what's going on at the White House. So maybe it is that last part that you said. Maybe they don't know what they're doing. Let's factor in the possibility of total incompetence.
Right.
Which is terrible.
Right.
Mm. I like the pictures. Okay. What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The Bob Woody Johnson, New York Jets owner.
Woody Johnson.
Whose name is Woody Johnson? Okay.
Now, what is a bigger priority to you right now? A winning season for the Jets or a winning election for Mitt Romney?
Well, I think you always have to put country first. So I think it's very, very important that for not only for us, but for our particular kids and grandkids, that this election come off with Mitt Romney and Ryan as president and vice president.
So he'd rather have Romney win than have his own team that he owns win.
Wow. Yes, because it's more important for America.
I see. That says Peter Schwantz.
Mittens.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's Woody Johnson.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. He also likes
Fisher Schmeckel.
He likes Roger Hedgehog, too.
Cock!
What? Oh, sorry.
Roger Hedgehog.
Get that wrong. You know, the Sexy Little Show has become like Rocky Horror. People, the audience it's like a.
Did you say Roger Hedgehog?
It's a Tourette's convention.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Them just yelling, you know. Also, they wanted Roland. They wanted to see.
Roland's.
Balls. Yeah, people were just yelling random stuff. Just, yeah. Okay. It is. It's a Tourette's convention. That's what it is.
Tourette's. Gun turrets.
That'd right. It's dangerous. A gun turrets convention.
That'd be dangerous for you.
Yes. Rush Limbaugh.
I thought we had an obesity epidemic. What is this curb hunger in America business? You know what you do to curb hunger? You work. It's called a job.
Wow.
Okay. He's lecturing people on obesity.
Right. Because
right-wing.
You know, you can have a lot of crap food, which is full of calories, but has no nutrition.
Right, food full of calories with no nutrition is very cheap. And so that's what poor people can afford. They don't have access to fresh fruits and vegetables.
Intense.
Right.
This is how, speaking of right-wing world, Politico has a piece on the parallel universe where Mitt Romney leads all the polls. This is how divided this country has become. We literally do have, they have their own set of facts, which are not facts.
Fact-free.
But they want the facts that they like.
Right.
I believe we played this clip in Right Wing World. I believe the election were held today. Romney would win by 4 or 5 points.
Yeah.
Said Dick Morris on Fox last week.
I believe the election were held today.
Predicting he would win in Florida, Ohio, Virginia, Nevada, and Pennsylvania.
Wow.
All of the polls
and
that he's
Denmark,
currently losing.
Strangely.
Yeah, exactly. Rush Limbaugh said they are designed to do exactly what I've warned you to be vigilant about, and that is to depress and suppress your vote. So you see, in their world, it's Democrats and the media that are suppressing the
projection.
Vote. Not
it's,
all the... yeah.
Call rule. Look what they're doing!
Yeah.
Look at that!
This website we talked about, unskewedpolls.com, it readjusts the public polling.
Yeah.
By sprinkling in more Republicans.
To make Romney win.
Right, he's winning in every single one of those. Of course, Politico writes, of course, arbitrarily reweighting polls is wildly unscientific, but that hasn't stopped Republicans like Limbaugh and even Texas Governor Rick Perry, who's not good at math, for mentioning the site. Yeah, it's the site they recommend, the one where Romney is winning. One pollster said, this is the world now. Just talk to doctors. They spend all their time explaining themselves to patients who look stuff up on the Internet and think the doctor's wrong.
Yeah.
I saw a thing on the Internet. Okay, I went to medical school, okay?
Yeah. Doctors really hate WebMD. Wow, do they hate WebMD.
That's not what I saw on the interweb. Are you sure you're a real doctor?
It's not possible for you to have an ectopic pregnancy. it does not happen.
Jim's recounting a conversation between he and his doctor.
Yes.
Yeah. Jim's a hypochondriac. Okay. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back with Charlie Pierce on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I hope I didn't get you into too much trouble.
Stephanie Miller.
No, I'll be around. I need these voiceover checks to support my gambling addiction.
Mama needs some new shoes. 34 minutes after the hour, right? 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Oh, no. Okay, now we know what they do at Current for 3 hours. Jim, they don't pay attention to our show. They're looking at cute baby animals.
Yeah.
There's a cute baby penguin being tickled.
Yes, this is from Vicky over at Current.
A penguin now?
It's Cookie the Penguin being tickled.
Wow.
That's a cute penguin. Oh my goodness, he's ticklish. Okay. Did we put that up?
Not yet.
Okay, nobody's going to get any work done actually, today at work, I can tell.
That was the recording of Romney's debate prep.
They were trying to tickle him, get him ready to do his zingers.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, they were tickling Scott Brown last night.
Ticklish Baby Campbell is up. Stephanie Miller Show Facebook. Check it out.
Yeah.
And the Ticklish Baby Penguin will be there shortly. There's only one man now that
it's
understands.
A ticklish writer.
That's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why's everybody always laughing with me?
Woogie, 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 woogie. Everybody tickle the balls today. That's
where I'm going. Woogie, 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 woogie. The cute little blogger. Woogie, woogie.
Don't tickle the writer. Hi, Charlie Pierce.
I'd do that to Chris LaFoy, but he'd flex his neck muscle and break my finger.
Yeah, with this pack of hot dogs I have in the back of my head.
Yeah, really. I mean, I didn't know there were human beings like had muscles back there.
His muscles have muscles.
Do you lift Jeeps with your head?
Charlie Pierce, how about that Scott Brown and Elizabeth Warren?
Hey, I'm not in your classroom, lady. So
hey. Hey, Sister Mary Oliphant, listen.
Stop it. Just stop it.
Yeah. How pathetic was it when they said, who's your favorite Supreme Court judge? And he's like Scalia. I don't know, Sotomayor, somebody else that doesn't make me seem...
Yeah, no, actually, he referred to someone who I believe was named Sotomayor, who I don't know about, but apparently he does. I think if David Gregory had given him 10 more minutes, he would have gone back to William O. Douglas and Salmon P. Chase.
Exactly.
As he started clicking them off. The general consensus was that in the hall, there were three general consensus in the hall. One, that Brown was a little bit better than he was the first time. Two, that Warren was not quite as good, although she got real strong towards the end. And three, that David Gregory should be flogged through the streets.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we'll get to your David Gregory stuff later. Anyway, but you were talking about the Boston Globe. The latest poll is she has a 5-point lead, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I still think it's a 3-point election, one way or the other.
Right.
And I'm not going to call on that one. I'm not going to be in Massachusetts, but I think it's going to be a very long election night.
But you make the same point. You know, there's a piece out today. Romney fades taking GOP Senate hopes with him, and it's talking about. You mentioned this. Willard Romney's support in Massachusetts has collapsed utterly. Right now, he's behind almost 30 points and sinking fast. Right. I mean, so that's part of this, right?
Oh, it's a big part of this. I'm frankly amazed by it. I mean, it isn't really his home state, I mean, in any real sense, any more than Utah or California or Michigan are. But he was governor here.
Right.
I mean, he did get elected once.
Right.
You know, and now, I mean, if you watch, I don't know if you watched the debate last night.
Some of it. I saw some, yeah.
Scott Brown did everything but put a bag over his head when asked whether or not he supported Mitt Romney.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, but as you write, the rest of the campaign is going to be a rock fight, largely because Brown's gone too far down that road to come back now.
Yeah, and of course, David Gregory opened the, you know, we had 20 minutes of what was on Elizabeth Warren's job application 20 years ago.
Yeah, again.
Then at the end, my favorite moment was when he said, well, we don't have much time left. What about the war in Afghanistan?
Oh, God.
Well, really?
You know, okay, fine.
Yeah, I gotta say, Charlie, you wrote some of the best stuff because it really is not funny. What you know, we always joke about David Gregory, but what he did on Sunday, where he completely I'll read the transcript. You put what Gregory said. The president has said as recently as May of this year that Al Qaeda has not had a chance to rebuild. That Al Qaeda has been defeated. There is an election on, as we've been talking about, and the president's challenger said plain and simple, the president failed to level with the American people and called this a terrorist attack because you had to be concerned about another terrorist attack from Al Qaeda in the Middle East after the president. That Al Qaeda had been defeated. And as you say, every part of this question, from its faulty premise to its phony conclusion is errant bull. The president never said Al Qaeda has not had a chance to rebuild or that it has been defeated. You'll also note that Gregory uses the challenger said technique to catapult Willard Romney's desperate hogwash into respectability.
We'll have to leave it there.
Yeah. I mean, and everybody was talking about this.
That's Wolf Blitzer.
But it's the same thing. Everybody was talking about this, that he completely, that was a complete lie. The president never said such a thing.
I assume he's talking about the speech the president gave at Bagram Air Force Base on May 17th, where he said that there was still going to be a long battle. And I'll be honest with you, I thought Elizabeth Warren's best moment in the debate last night was when she was asked about Afghanistan, and she said, I think we should get the troops out now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that even faster than the president's timeline. But the president has never in his life said anything as stupid like Al Qaeda is defeated.
When you make the best point, you said David Gregory could be tough without being dishonest and without so clearly wishing for a better horse race in November. And you say this is not funny. This is the kind of journalistic malpractice that brought us George W. Bush and mushroom clouds and aluminum tubes and thousands of dead people. So, I mean, you know, that's the thing. It's like, at least be honest. You can still be tough. Tim Russert was tough, but not like that. Right.
Well, I mean, yeah, he was like that in a lot of ways, but in any event, I was stunned by that. I thought because I went back and checked. I said, there's no possible way the president could be stupid enough to say that Al Qaeda was defeated when he knows that, you know, he can be made to look criminally naive if one guy with a hand grenade shows up one day and claims to be Al Qaeda and blows up a bus. You know, I went back, and it turned out he was talking about the speech at Bagram, and the president said nothing of the sort. And, you know, Think Progress caught this, too, and good for them. But, I mean, the guy goes blithely on, and then he's up here last night making a dog's breakfast out of our debate. I mean, it was just,
You also talked about it was Chris Christie Day. He was on all three of the, he's too much man for just one show.
He spread himself a little thin, I thought.
You say he was remarkably blowhardy on all of them. Yeah, he somehow did not get the lowering expectations game. He said it's going to be a whole new day.
Since I think the expectation game is a crock, I give him a lot of credit for saying, hey, Mitt Romney's going to kick some butt, and this whole race will be turned upside down and moving in a different direction, which will make the race look really interesting, I think. If it's upside down and moving in a different direction,
be awesome.
I would watch that. I would watch a race that was upside down and moving in a different direction.
It's like a baby monkey riding backwards on a pig, electorally speaking.
Which I think we can probably find on the Stephanie Miller Show Facebook page.
I think we can.
Yes, we can.
Okay. You also, but let's not leave David Gregory yet. You say he allowed criminal reptile Ralph Reed to slither back onto the national stage with his latest plan to sucker the rubes and God enfeebled throughout the land. He literally let him get away with saying President Obama has a casual relationship with the truth.
Yes, but no, David came right back and said, well, you know, some people might characterize those as broken promises, but not lies. Yes, some people would. Some people would also like spit in Ralph Reed's eye and tell him he shouldn't be seen in decent society ever again. Those people used to be called newsmen.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Charlie Pierce. Thank you. All right, and then you talk about, it was Paul Ryan and Scott Walker in New Hampshire. By the way, you call it a battleground, but just out this morning, President Obama's up 54-39 in New Hampshire.
Yeah, that was that number started circulating last night in the press room before the debate in Lowell.
Yeah.
I'm not sure on that one. That seems very, very high. I mean, there are a ton of Republicans in New Hampshire still, and you know, although I did hear that a lot of the generally the people who work Democratic campaigns in New Hampshire all come from Massachusetts.
Right.
They all move up there.
Right.
I did hear that a lot of them are staying here to work on Elizabeth Warren's campaign rather than go to New Hampshire because they think New Hampshire's sewn up. So, I mean, you take that for what it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
But 15 points sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you did not detect a lot of enthusiasm there for Paul Ryan.
Oh, God, what a
Scott
crowd
Walker,
that was.
As you called them, the zombie-eyed Granny Starver and the goggle-eyed homunculus.
Well, I'll tell you, the goggle-eyed homunculus got a better reception than the zombie-eyed Granny Starver is because I'll tell you what, the zombie-eyed Granny Starver has checked out.
The
only thing he's got left to fight for is his ongoing political viability.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
I think you saw that weird interview with Chris Wallace was taped right after the event I went to. It was taped in the chapel at Pinkerton Academy. He got there, and it was 9:30 in the morning, and it was rainy, and I take all of that into account. But this crowd really needed, you know, it's morning caffeine and bear claw because, boy, were they dead.
You said he couldn't move them to anything more than politely enthusiastic applause. You said this right here is what a campaign looks like when the air's gone out of it.
I mean,
he already seems like he's trying to distance himself, talking about missteps and.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, he's hanging on till the lame duck session when he can become a budget guru again.
Is there time to pump some air back into the campaign, do you think?
I've said all along, I cannot believe the president will cruise to re-election with 8% unemployment. It's not within my comprehension. But apparently he's going to do it. I don't think the debates are going to mean anything, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I think this whole, Romney's got to have a knockout punch in the debate. Well, you know, that's going to be defined by people who aren't in the debates.
Right.
He has zingers,
though. Who wins
though.
And loses these debates? Unless, you know, the president makes the kind of mistake he's never made in his public life.
Right. Well, he and Mitt Romney has.
It's all going to be a matter of interpretation, and that can go very badly wrong.
He has zingers, though. That he's been practicing for months.
Yes, a priest, a rabbi, a Mormon, and a minister and a duck walk into a bar.
And they all say, "Why
the Mormon
face?"
Says, "Get this guy off my ass." No, yeah, I'm sorry.
Mitt may just be reduced to playing, videos of baby animals being tickled.
Sure.
No, I think he's once again, with impeccable timing, he's bringing up a foreign policy argument when the foreign policy debate is the third and last of them.
Right.
Which will take place, by the way, with all kinds of residents in Boca Raton.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to organize, I think, reporter trips to the function room where the videotape was filmed.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Well, and the other thing I was going to say, though, with early voting, a lot of people are going to have voted before these debates are even done.
Yeah, I just think the whole run up to the debates and what people have to do and can't have to do, when we all know that 9 times out of 10 the interpretation by the media afterwards is going to determine who won and who lost.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Well, I mean, ask Al Gore if you don't believe me.
Yep. Well, I can't. I will be on Current with Al Gore tomorrow for the debate coverage. So, Charlie Pierce,
are you going to be on the debate coverage?
No, I'm not. At the post debate, we're doing the pre. They're not letting us in prime time.
But we're doing pre.
We're going to be 7 p.m. Eastern.
I was going to say, because if they let you and Governor Granholm in the studio at the same time, that is like the critical mass of Cool Babe.
Isn't it, though?
Oh, Charlie Pierce.
I'm dying next time we see Governor Granholm to give her a great big dating game kiss.
I will. Oh, stop it. Before I go, Charlie Pierce, woogie.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
Woogie.
All right, love you.
We tickle our bloggers here.
Just go tickle a blogger. All right, 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Kid tested, John Conyers approved. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Down. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Michael in New York City. Hi, Michael.
Hey, sexy liberal mama. Ooh.
How's the boy from New York City?
Oh, we're doing well.
All right, go ahead.
Yes, number one, looking forward to meeting you all at the Sexy Liberal Show.
Woot!
I bought VIP tickets.
Oh, yay. Going fast, by the way. Hurry up, October 27th. Oh, my God, you're going to poo yourself when you see who the special celebrity guest is on panel, Michael.
Oh, yeah. And
okay.
To add to the Republican hypocrisy, first off, I can't see why they say that taxing the rich will be a big burden on them, but yet they have no problem shelling out millions and millions and the millions of dollars in campaign funds, but yet if they only paid their fair share of taxes, they'd be paying far less than what they've been shelling out.
Yeah, thank you. That's why they have so much money to give to these stupid campaigns, is because they don't pay enough taxes. Oh, by the way, here's a real Michelle Bachmann headline today. Michelle Bachmann's Chicago synagogue visit drives attendees to leave and donate to her opponent.
Right.
Michelle Bachmann swung by a Chicago area synagogue for worship service on the eve of Yom Kippur, upsetting congregants and provoking one man to mount a campaign for her Democratic challenger before the end of the night. Nicely done.
That worked almost as well as Marcus's de-gang.
Yeah. LaTanya in Mississippi, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, LaTanya.
Hi, Steph.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Oh, I just wanted to call and tell Lee from Mississippi to shut up and quit embarrassing us.
Yeah, she was the one that, the president has not responded properly
to what
happened in Libya.
Awful. It is. It's just a shame. I'm so embarrassed. I apologize, Steph.
That's
We're
all
not
right.
all like that.
That's all right.
It's a shame. And you want to talk about victims. I've never seen more people with more stuff and things and money that complain about stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the way they are around here. It's not people that are in the 47% that are complaining. They're too busy living and trying to make it. They're not complaining like these people who have everything, mm-hmm. but they blame Obama for everything.
Yeah, thank you.
They don't think that any of it is their fault. They don't even think that it's their local government
That's
or
right.
their state government or the people that they're voting for.
Yep.
They think it's just got to be the black man in the White House.
Snap. And who's the victim now?
Right.
They are, right? President Obama's and Paul Ryan says media also is...
As a conservative, I've long believed and long felt that there is inherent media bias, and I think anybody with objectivity would believe that that's the case.
Oh,
baby!
We can't expect the president to play fair. He's not. And we're not expecting the media to tell our story. They're not.
But, describing yeah. Mitt Romney did when he worked at Bain. How dare he?
Baby needs nappy.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Scooter in the chat room uh-huh. says that Bachman was actually handing out cookies on Yom Kippur.
Oh, dear.
Which you don't do because it's a day of fasting.
Right, yeah. and atonement.
Wow.
I learned that the hard way. I once said
happy Yom Kippur.
Oops,
oh,
no.
Computer
says no.
No, don't have a happy. Have a atoneful.
No, you wish someone a something
happy.
Fast.
No, I said have a happy
right,
Yom Kippur.
Right, but you're supposed to say... Have a easy fast or something like that.
Have
right.
a Megillah. Take
right.
two, they're small.
Stop it. John in Oklahoma, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, John.
Hi.
Hi.
Very nice to talk to you. Thank you for letting me on.
Thank you.
I just would like to know, and I know you already know the answer, but why Republicans hate clean air, clean water, and a clean food supply. Our state is literally ran by Republicans. They're influenced by the coal industry and the oil industry mm-hmm. to the point where they really don't care about what we give our kids.
Yep. Yeah, well, because it's all that regulation. That's that big government regulation they don't want. Ooh,
they hate the EPA here. We don't care what our kids breathe from the coal power burning plants. The thing that really gets me is how these lobbyists have so much money to influence Republicans to the point where they don't care about the hand that feeds them.
Yep, yep. Well, it's all about, you know, the president's war on coal.
What?
Huh? Okay. All right, Mittens yesterday.
People want to know who's going to win,
yeah.
who's going to score
Not
the punches,
and
who's going to make the biggest difference in the arguments they make, and there's going to be all the scoring of winning and losing. And,
yeah.
you know, in my view, it's not so much winning and losing, or even the people themselves, the president and myself, it's about something bigger than that.
Okay, all right, well, I think it's actually going to be about...
All right, take care now. Bye-bye, then.
No, it's something bigger than that, like the trees that are just the right height. Pancakes.
Oh, dear. Guess what?
The lakes.
The headline is
the lakes.
Romney fades, taking GOP Senate hopes with him.
Oh.
It's, you know, when the Titanic goes down, remember, it just sucks everything in around it. You know what I'm saying? Did you get rid of the rats already?
Yeah, I did. I have to find them again.
Some tickling rats. Rats being tickled.
That's what I could use.
Mitt Romney's decline nationally in various swing states dovetailed with the dip seen by Republican candidates in key Senate races. Oh.
Pretty much all the Republican candidates are dipped.
Wow! Okay. We just talked to Charlie Pierce about Massachusetts, as Obama has expanded his advantage almost 30 points over Romney. Elizabeth Warren has pulled ahead, obviously, in Wisconsin. Republican Senate nominee Tommy Thompson's meteoric fall in the polls has coincided with the state shifting from toss-up territory. Right. Romney now trailing by 14 in the Badger state. They, with the wrong honey badgers.
Honey
badgers
don't
right?
care.
Yeah, honey badgers don't care.
That's a different animal, though.
Right.
Honey badgers
okay.
and badgers.
Representative Tammy Baldwin, who is awesome, has surged past him. Yay for her. Tim Kaine, George Allen. Kaine has started to see some lift there. He's up among eight among likely Virginia voters. Same poll gave Obama an 8-point lead over Romney. Florida Senator Bill Nelson and Sherrod Brown, whom we love in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're also ticking up in crucial battlegrounds. Republicans recruited some bad candidates. Said one of the pollsters. Yeah. In Nevada, Republican Senator Dean Heller can't seem to shake his Democratic challenger, Shelley Berkley. That's a close one there. These races have become increasingly nationalized, according to pollsters, meaning Mittens is dragging everyone down with him. It's like that final scene where the you know, the boat upends. I think Romney has been a drag everywhere, said the pollster. I have to believe these trends are occurring in House races, too. For most of the year, I thought Romney was a below-average nominee. Now I think he's one of the worst nominees ever.
But he's just the right height.
Way to go, Mittens. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Contain myself this week. But it turns out I can say what I'm doing tonight.
What?
I'll tell you in just a bit.
What are you doing?
And then Sunday, I'm going to the final fundraiser in Los Angeles for President Obama.
You are?
Yeah. Featuring Katy Perry, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Wow.
Who else? Jennifer Hudson, Bon Jovi. Who else am I missing? Stevie Wonder.
And you know who's going to be on the
Mayor
show?
Mayor Julian Castro.
You know who's going to be on the show tomorrow?
Who?
Obama surrogate Kerry Washington.
Oh, my God. Ooh, along with sexy liberal House Parks.
We're just surrounded by Obama people.
And now, Obama for America traveling press secretary Jen Psaki, who's a big name. And is with
Good
the
morning.
President
I
right now.
I love your lead-in music. I'm pumped, too.
You are with the president in Nevada.
I am. It's pretty warm and desert-like here, I have to tell you.
Yeah, so. It is. I was just there over the weekend. Yeah.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Well, I'll see you in Los Angeles this weekend, too.
Nice.
Are you coming? Oh, my God, it's so exciting, right?
Absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely. It's pretty exciting. I haven't focused on it, but now you just got me pumped talking about it.
Oh, did I forget to mention the president will also be here at that concert?
Oh, yeah. He'll be there, too. I mean, I'm excited about the other people just as much, if not more. So.
I know. They did it to me again. I went to the previous one that Pink was supposed to do, and I popped for that one, and then they got me on this one. They got the hook in me again, Jen.
That's great. Listen, that's what pulls you in. It should be a fun evening.
Exactly.
Yes.
How's the president feeling? What's the debate, obviously, tomorrow? I know he joked to an aide today that debate prep is a drag.
Yeah. It's not probably his favorite thing to do. You know, he does like to take breaks now and then. Yesterday we went to a field office and he called people at home, and it's always funny when he does that because people cannot believe it's him. And sometimes people say, this isn't the president. This isn't. And he says, yes, it is. I swear it is. And you're going to see reports soon that I called you. So I promise it's me. So he did that yesterday, and we'll take a break today, but it's probably not his favorite thing in the world.
Wow.
Well, I promise I'm not. Fred Armisen.
Is he afraid of Mitt Romney's zingers that he's been practicing for months now?
Well, you know, I mean, I think we're all going to be watching because Mitt Romney's team has been talking about his zingers and one-liners. They've been preparing them for months. So, you know, we'll be waiting with bated breath to see what those have to offer. I mean, the president just sees this very differently. As he did at the convention, he's going to speak directly to the American people, people sitting on their couches at home, people who haven't focused on the fact that there's an election. We know there's a huge audience, and that's what we're focused on.
You know, I know. Obviously, both sides always play the lowering the expectations game, right?
Of course. It's part of the game.
Yes. So, I mean, I'm curious how you guys are feeling, how much the debates will shape this. You probably saw Chris Christie said it's going to be a whole new day Thursday morning, Jen. The whole campaign's going to start over.
He said it would turn the race upside down.
Right.
So, you know, we're relying on that. We believe Chris Christie. Look, I think debates are an opportunity for both candidates to speak directly to the American people. That's what the president's focused on. When the Romney team says they're going to have a game changer, you have to think about what that means. Does that mean they're going to be tied or up in Ohio? You know, does that mean they're going to be surging in Nevada? So we'll see what that means. But, you know, we don't think that the American people are looking for zingers. There's plenty of other funny people out there aside from the candidates.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, one thing the president and Vice President Biden have been doing are really smart at talking about trying to box Mitt Romney in on taxes. The president said, I refuse to ask middle-class families to give up your deduction for owning a home or raising kids just so we can pay for another millionaire's tax cut. Biden said if Governor Romney's plan goes into effect, it could mean that every one of you would be paying more taxes on your Social Security. The average senior would have to pay $460 a year or more in taxes for their Social Security. I mean, don't you have to force Mitt Romney to finally give the American people some specifics on what...
They haven't had a great week on that front, I have to tell you. You know, Paul Ryan had a hard time answering this question. He actually said on Sunday that there wasn't enough time to explain it, which I think
right.
the American people hear and they say, well, wait a second. And they've had just a series of misfires in trying to answer this question. And you're right. I think the American people are looking for answers. You know, if you're a teacher in Ohio or a firefighter in Nevada, you're thinking, why am I paying a higher tax rate than this guy?
Yeah.
And what can we do to fix that? And that's, you know, fundamentally one of the questions in the election.
And I didn't think it was as bad as his last appearance on Fox News, where he said he hadn't actually run the numbers on his budget. And I'm like, on a budget? You haven't? Really?
You know you'll be commander-in-chief and the president in just a few short months if you win.
Right.
You should run those numbers.
Yeah, you might want to do that. Jen, when you heard about the 47% video, did you believe it? Did you were like, no, come on, stop messing with me. He didn't really say that, right?
There were things, as you remember, there are pieces of that video that trickled out over the course of 24 hours. So, you know, with every piece, it was more and more, not unbelievable, but just, you know, I think I was like many Americans sitting there thinking, did he really say all of that? And I think the problem for Mitt Romney is that this just solidifies what people think he thinks, you know?
Right.
People think he thinks that the wealthiest should have the tax benefits, not the middle class. So it kind of solidifies that, and that's part of the problem for them.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, I think that's why clearly the polls are showing that it's resonating, because it's not a gaffe, right? I mean, it's their policies.
Right. Well, it was a lengthy video where he said many things, I think, that left people scratching their heads who saw the video later.
Right, right. By the way, speaking of taxes, is that going to be an issue again? Because I still just can't believe that Mitt Romney can get away with that little transparency, with, you know, breaking the standard that every other presidential candidate, including his father, has. If he won't even show us his own taxes, and obviously he's trying to make this election partially a debate on taxes, I just think that's unconscionable.
I think it's one of those issues that, you know, president always says this, when you're running for office, people want to lift the hood and kick the tires, right? They want to know what you're all about, what you're going to do when you're in office. And, you know, that Mitt Romney's taxes and his investments are a prism for that. That's why it's important, because the American people want to know, you know, did you invest in Chinese companies? Well, we know he did. You know, did you invest in, what kind of companies, investments were you involved in? And I think that's part of what we think should be in the discussion, and many people agree. You know, there was a big story on the front of the Times today about how, Mitt Romney did benefit from the tax loopholes that Bain, the company he worked at, was using. He financially benefited. And, you know, if you're sitting at home and you're a teacher going to work, you're thinking, well, why do I pay a higher rate? It's the same question it keeps going back to.
Right, right. I think it is. It's a basic question of fairness.
Right.
For instance, I mean, if you're running... literally, it sounds like they think everything is off bounds. Like, you're running on your record as a business person, and he doesn't want to talk about Bain. He thinks that's
right.
all out of bounds.
Right.
He apparently doesn't want to talk about his record as governor of Massachusetts, right?
Right. Well, my favorite is that he takes credit for covering children with health care, but one of the first things he wants to do in office is, veto the Affordable Care Act. So
yeah.
It's hard to really, you know, figure that in your head.
Yeah. Well, the sure sign of desperation in the Romney camp is that he brought up Romney Care. That was really, wow. I mean, I think they really are so reactive at this point. They're trying to react to this 47% video, which is so damaging, right? And so he tried to
that's
use...
That's true. I think, you know, where we are is we just have to keep reminding our supporters and even our staff and everybody working toward our effort that this race is going to be close just because the country is divided. And we need people to get out, get involved, and register. And, it's not over till the fat lady sings. So we've got a little while to go here.
Well, you know, people have pointed that out, Jen, that, you know, they obviously people that want to see a horse race say, oh, well, you know, Carter was ahead by the same amount over Reagan at this point in the blah, 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 blah. I mean, how concerned are you? That, I mean, you're obviously feeling pretty good about where the snapshot is today, right?
Well, you know, we think that the polls will narrow just because we're not going to win some of these states by the amount where the polls show them at this stage. And that's a natural part of the ebbs and flows of this stage of the, of any campaign. And we just want to make sure that, you know, somebody who's at home who supports the president, who wants to see him back, doesn't say, I don't really need to register. I don't need to get out there because this thing is locked, because it's not locked. And, you know, that's one of the things that we worry about and we're focused on every day.
Jen, how concerned are you and the president about a lot of these voter suppression tactics going on? We obviously just won a big ruling this morning in Pennsylvania where the
judge. Which was great news. You know, it's something that we're very focused on, and the best thing we can do for people in those states is educate them and make sure people have the information they need to know when they can vote, how they can vote, who's eligible, how to get registered. It's unfortunate, of course, that there's any effort to prevent or limit people's access to voting, and that certainly is not something we would like. Whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, independent, doesn't matter to us. We think you should vote. But we knew that some of this would be happening, and that's why we're focused, and we've spent a lot of time and resources educating people in these states on how to vote.
It's curious. You would think if you were really confident in your positions, you would want as many people to vote as possible, wouldn't you?
Well, you know, you said that, not me.
Exactly. Let's keep it that way.
There's some partisan, clearly some partisan, engagement going on here, or motivation going on here.
Jen, you're a press secretary. You know I'm trying to drag you into trouble for my own publicity. Come on. Play along. Well, I got to say, I can't wait to see you Sunday. And by the way, I think you can still get tickets if you're in the L.A. area, right, if you go to Obama for America?
That's right. Go to our website. I believe there are still tickets available, so hopefully we'll see more listeners there on Sunday.
It's at the Nokia Theater here in L.A., the Countdown to Victory Party, the president, Julian Castro, who knocked it out of the park at the DNC.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's a rising star there.
I think we're still bouncing from the convention, aren't we, Jen?
I think so. You know, I have to tell you, we have seen some energy. Something is in the air since the convention. We did a bus tour through Florida that weekend, and ever since then, I think people are really feeling it and they're getting excited. So we have 34 more days. We just need to keep that up till then, and then we'll sleep on November 7th.
Yep, absolutely. And we were saying Katy Perry, who else? Earth, Wind & Fire, Stevie Wonder, Bon Jovi, Jennifer Hudson. It's an unbelievable concert this Sunday in Los Angeles. All right. And then does the president talk about me a lot before you go? What does he say?
All the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, my sister's name is Stephanie, so I never know who he's talking about.
Right.
I can't shut him up.
Right. Okay. Awesome. Thanks for that. Was good. Nicely done, Jen. All right. Jen Psaki from the Obama campaign. Thanks so much. See you Sunday.
Thank you. See you Sunday.
All right. There you go.
Hooray.
Jen Psaki, she's a traveling press secretary.
She is. She's important.
You see her quoted in all them big dare news stories.
You certainly do.
Oh, I know the president. Blah, blah, blah. Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie,
I know.
Stephanie.
Right?
Stephanie Miller.
I know. Oh, Mr. President, hush. I've heard enough about her.
Oh, God.
She played along. She's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
18 minutes after the hour. Maybe I'll get another picture of his hand or something this Sunday. I always get him waving.
A blurry picture of his hand. Yeah.
Look, I saw him. Okay. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What the hell was that?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Talking and you didn't think that I would hear it. People hear you talking like that, getting everybody fired up.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour. Our bananagrams are here. Bananagram. As you know, I recently got my ass kicked in Bananagram by Ethel Kennedy at the Kennedy compound.
And Bananagram is a game that's a combination of Scrabble and Boggle?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
It's
Scrabble. Whatever
scroggle.
It is, I'm really bad at it. I just spelled words like
Baggle.
Like poo. It's like, I don't know. I've got too much wine. That'll help.
Uh-oh.
Okay. So anyway, thank you, Bananagram, because we talked about it.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, it's in this game. Look, it's a little bag of things that comes in. That's
in a little banana.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. It's very exciting.
Hmm.
Speaking of exciting, so I guess I can say what I'm doing tonight.
What are you doing tonight?
Speaking of pooing myself, seriously, I'm going to poo myself.
Don't do that.
Guess who I get to meet for the first time in my life?
Who?
Carol Burnett.
You're a big fan of hers.
She and Lily Tomlin, my two heroes in life, and I've just never gotten to. And anyway, so her daughter invited me to the Tonight Show. She's doing the Tonight Show tonight.
That is
and
so
I
cool.
get to hang out with her in her dressing room and poo myself. I brought like a year's supply of adult diapers.
Just don't go all Chris Farley on her, please.
I remember that time.
Oh my god. And you came curtains, down with the curtains. Like, the curtains
that was that awesome.
Okay. How much do you have a bet on how quickly I'm going to be ejected by security?
Oh no.
No, I'm going to be good friends with her daughter Jody.
Right.
Who
I talked to Jody
right.
at
she
your
was
party.
At my party last weekend. Mm-hmm, right. She there's yes, I had to explain to her the first time she came to my house why there's a giant creepy picture of her mother and her sister in my house because people are like, oh, are you friends with them? I'm like, no, I've never met any of them. She's like, oh, that's kind of creepy. What's why? And I explained that we had a photographer of a book on famous mothers and their daughters
right.
on one of my canceled television shows.
Okay.
And that was on the set, and they gave it to me because they know how much I love Carol Burnett. And so she was like, wow, that's creepy. There's a lot of, and there's other pictures of my mom in your house. Ooh, okay.
All right,
so whatever. I'm going to make a complete idiot of myself.
When's the monkey funeral?
I'm so creepy. Okay.
And will Buster Keaton be playing poker?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. And the president on Sunday for the big concert. I don't, my life is really. And then the rest of it's a complete wreck, as you know.
So who won the contest to be your date
Nobody
to this thing?
Nobody yet.
Really?
Mm-hmm. We'll see how things go.
All right.
Still a bit of a lottery going
see,
on.
Yeah, see how much cash and prizes you can suck in before you decide.
Yeah, I'd pop for the VIP tickets. Listen. Okay. All right. Mary in Seattle. Hey, Steph, what a great show in Seattle. Seattle Sexy Liberal. Thank you, Seattle. We love you. Steph, thanks for the great show. On fire. We're so happy to have front row seats so we could be part of the action when you jumped into the crowd to grope everyone. We gave you a good spanking. Yeah, ow. Seattle spanks hard. I'm bruised.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Mm. What a fun night. You guys are beyond smart, funny, so generous with your time. You took time with each and every person there, even though you were running out of Chardonnay as everyone took a sip. I gave people my wine. That's how much I give and I love.
And they gave you back their cold sores.
Next time, please bring Roland's sweaty balls out for a bow. Love you, Mary, in Seattle. I think Roland did bring his balls out for a bow.
Did he show them?
Huh?
I can't imagine he'd show
no,
them.
No, no. No, no, no. Don't be ridiculous.
Like he showed you.
Yes. Well, he didn't mean to. Still traumatized. I have post-traumatic ball disorder now.
Yeah. Well, he saw your cooter, too, so
well,
I can't imagine he's too stable.
He looked on purpose.
Uh-huh.
John in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Oh, good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
Good, honey. Go ahead.
Happy birthday, belated, and happy birthday to Jackie.
Yay!
I voted today in Ohio.
Oh, you did? Early voting. Goodbye.
Yeah, I was fifth in line, but I was second to get my ballot in.
Wow. Good for you. Good for you. That's I think a lot of people are going to feel relieved just because of all the stories of voter suppression, right, to get your vote in early. Right, John?
Well, yeah, I'm happy to get it in. I'm really happy today. And the best part was kind of we had a teabagger in line with us.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Well, he actually had a Republican. He was a card-carrying Republican, and he was bragging about it because it was autographed by Rick Santorum on the back.
Oh.
That's nothing to brag about.
In brown marker?
Actually, it was blue.
Okay. Blue. All right.
No,
he didn't get it.
I expect brown.
Okay. He sometimes, I think that would be funny if someone just kept handing him a brown marker to sign his Santorum in.
Oh.
That's funny because Dan Savage was just on the panel in the Seattle Saturday night. Okay, 29, we all thanked him for Santorum. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Because she is so amazing, I have to listen. Are you sure that's the type of person you want as your life coach? She just seems a little off.
Hi, I'm a life coach. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. Our pet peeve, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Tyler is from Beaverton, Oregon. Hi, Tyler.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
All right, yeah. My wife is the one that did your dog portraits. She just wanted to wish you a happy birthday.
Oh, cool. I love them. We posted them already. It's Max and Fred in suits and ties drinking cocktails.
Well, we're fellow dog lovers up here in Beaverton.
He's a Beaverton again.
Yeah, T-Bone said you'd like where we live, so.
Yes, I would. Thank you. Tell her thank you very much. I loved them.
Awesome. Well, she'll be very pleased that you enjoy them.
All right. They're up on, where are they up on?
On your Facebook page?
Oh, it's so handsome. They're wearing suits and ties and they're drinking like cocktails. They're like madmen.
These dogs think they're people.
So are you, though? Speaking of which, let's see, Pamela writes, Steph, this past weekend I agreed to foster a rescue dog named Molly, photo attached. Oh, Molly's so pretty. within 24 hours I noticed that my voice had gone up a few octaves every time I spoke to her. Yeah, you're cooked once you start talking.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. When I would say Q, Max, and Fred voice, good golly, Miss Molly, come here, Molly girl. My dear husband knew it was all over. Molly immediately went from foster dog to owning us in a matter of 2 days.
Aww.
Yay! She loves to go hiking and points out all the poop piles left by other dogs so my husband can leave notes next to them. That's my pet peeve. Just kidding. Molly is such a great dog. Can you give her a shout out and remind people there are lots of amazing rescue dogs that need loving homes? Yay, Molly!
Yay!
Yay, rescue dog! Okay. Oh, by the way, let's see. Eric writes, Steph, voter suppression bill in Pennsylvania. Thousands of possibly disenfranchised voters will be allowed to vote. With the insightful reporting of current events on Current TV, and we get Ticklish Camel. Thank you. The coffee spewed out of my nose and onto my cat, Moonshadow.
Oh.
All right. Listen, we told you the voter ID story, and you got Ticklish Camel.
You get both. We're not an either-or proposition here.
That camel is ticklish. It's up on my Facebook page.
Yep.
Andy in Jonestown, Pennsylvania. Hello, Andy.
Yeah, hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Okay, now that our democracy suppression law has been overturned here,
yep.
It doesn't mean that the Tea Party won't still have people going to low-income neighborhoods and going to the poll stations and asking for photo IDs. The thing to do is to challenge them. You know, if somebody asks me for my ID, I'm going to say, I need to see your ID, because these people have no authority to be there. They're
not
election officials.
That's right. You do the I know you are, but what am I to them?
Yeah.
Right, Jerome in Pennsylvania. Hi, Jerome.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey, go ahead.
Yeah, I was talking about the voter suppression law here. It was turned down,
yep.
Postponed. And another thing, you know, the Republicans now have stopped voter registration because of the scandal they was having. They stopped voter registration in 5 of the battleground states. They would not be registering voters in 5 battleground states. Unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
And one more thing, I saw the president in Florida. It was a bunch of people standing behind him with signs that said Republicans for Obama. I was shocked to see that. I couldn't believe my eyes.
Yeah.
That was great. They need to show that all over the country. Use that in a spot on a commercial or something. That was great.
Yep, absolutely. By the way, here's some fun facts about voter suppression. Even Rick Scott in Florida can't find virtually any non-citizen voters.
Oh.
Earlier this year, you know, he tried to do a massive voter purge.
Right.
Initially targeted as many 180,000 individuals to remove from the state's voter rolls. Quickly emerged, however, that his lists were deeply flawed. It was eventually halted after all of Florida's county election officials, including 30 Republicans, rebelled against the purge.
Yeah.
How about that?
Wow.
Scott now has begun a second voter purge. Despite his previous claims that non-citizen voting is a major problem worth of a massive voter purge, he wants to investigate the Republican voter fraud that's going on in Florida.
There's a lot of that.
Bet he's on that, like white on rice. His own data undermines this claim. After comparing a state database of driver's license with a federal database of immigration records, Rick Scott, Florida, barely uncovered any potential non-citizens. In total, his quest for non-citizen voters flagged 198 names, Jim. 8 million people voted last time.
Wow.
Of those 198 possible non-citizens, only 39 have actually ever voted. Wow, he sussed out a giant problem, hasn't he? If any of the 198 names I first time, I mean, it's...
Wow. Unbelievable.
Yes, thank you. Leonard Skinner has announced the Confederate flag.
Renounced?
Which has made
some...
Renounced, didn't you mean?
You said
renounced. Sorry, renounced.
Certainly.
Which is anchored...
Certainly.
We all should have slept in, sorry. They, Lynyrd Skynyrd, you know, was not bothered by Watergate.
Right.
But now they're sheepish over their use of the Confederate flag. The group's lone surviving original member, Gary Rossington, recently told CNN the band, recognizing the flag's offensive and racist undertones, will cease using it at as a stage decoration at its upcoming concerts.
He's the only remaining original member, though, so... who knows what the original members of Led Zeppelin?
Led Zeppelin?
What?
Well, and who knows? And is that relevant? How is that relevant?
Lynyrd Skynyrd would think about the Confederate flag.
But what do the members of Led Zeppelin think about Lynyrd Skynyrd using?
Give a crap.
I love Sweet Home Alabama. That's all I want to say. Okay, so this didn't sit well with some of the band's fans.
I can't imagine it would.
Who've taken to the comments section. You know, the comments section always our favorite.
Get a rope.
Good luck with your next release, Sweet Home Massachusetts. I'm sure it'll climb the charts with a bullet in Yankee land. This isn't the real Lynyrd Skynyrd anyway. Well. They should have taken a name like Obama's politically correct, sell your soul, make believe imposters or something.
Well, that's clever.
That's an actual quote from the comments.
Really?
Wow.
All right, maybe they can hit the road with Neil Young now. maybe those Southern men do need him around.
Could be.
Anyhow, at this point.
I don't think so.
No?
No.
All right. Eric Stone Street from our good buddy, our pal from Modern Family.
And from your game show.
Yes!
I've got a secret.
I run into him all the time.
You got an Emmy.
He joked with E! About the Daily Mail's recent report that he is dating Charlize Theron.
Oh, really?
I know. Jodie Foster, who I'm dating, we laughed about that yesterday. Oh, my gosh.
Sure.
We laughed and laughed. He said, I wish people would stop spreading rumors about Charlize Theron and I are dating. It's starting to make Halle Berry jealous.
Okay, that's funny.
I know. Jodie and I are, we're the talk of the town. Apparently, she was at LA Sexy Liberal. And we were spotted at the DNC and the Grove. Who knew?
Wow.
Right? Okie dokie.
You were not at the Grove.
I actually walked right past Jodie Foster and, oh, God, what's his name? Australian actor. Anyway,
Mel Gibson?
Mel Gibson.
No, the other one.
Oh.
I don't get
Hugh Jackman.
Sleep. Never mind. It doesn't matter. But I saw a picture, like, in one of the People magazine or something that was, that was them.
Mm-hmm.
That they were dating?
Incognito. Oh. Yeah.
Sure.
God, losing my mind.
You know,
Gladiator.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't have attempted this today.
We should have retroactively canceled ourselves today.
Yeah.
Okay. Jim, you could have been at the Emmys. You could have been a helper. Sophia, how do you say?
Vergara. Uh-huh. Also from Modern Family.
Yeah.
Right. She had a wardrobe malfunction.
Oh, really?
20 minutes before she was supposed to go on stage, her zipper broke and her curvy backside was
exposed.
That's
terrible.
Yeah.
You could see her butt cleavage.
Let me help you with that.
Jim, that would have been awful. That would have been horrific for you to have witnessed that. Yeah.
You think if you spend that much on a dress, it would stay together?
Yeah.
I look for value in a...
in a dress?
In a dress.
Oh, no. This is tragic news. Matt Lauer might be asked to take a significant pay cut if the Today ratings continue to decline.
Uh-oh.
In his $25 million a year.
Serve you right to suffer, baby. Serve you right to be alone.
Are we sucking his viewership?
I would do it for half that. I'd be happy to take over the Today Show for half of that. I mean, I really, you know.
Uh-huh.
Don't you think I could make do? Of course, we'd have to get up even earlier.
Yes.
But
yeah.
I think we're sucking his viewership here on the West Coast.
I think so. Mm. Sorry, Matt. Sucks to be you. Uh-huh.
He's not currying favor with anyone these days.
Hey, you see what you did there?
It would be hard to give up my Captain America's underpants and the 73 cents. I make an hour.
A shiny nickel.
Don't spend it all in one place.
I kid. Okay. You know what? This could be me in a second if I don't show a little more gratitude. Happy Days, Aaron Moran. This is...
Oh, sad.
Is homeless?
Yeah.
Wow.
Bouncing around from hotel to motel after being thrown out of the trailer park she was sharing with her mother-in-law. Okay. Just when I thought my life is a hot mess, she and her husband, who works in the garden center of an Indiana Walmart... Oh, dear.
Oh,
they
geez.
Were living with his mom in a trailer home in Skies. Oh, dear. She was so perky. Just saying.
Did I tell you a few months ago I went to a pool party at her childhood home?
That is really random.
I know.
Okay. Let's go to Sharon in Wisconsin. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sharon.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, y'all.
Hi, go ahead.
Brother-in-law divorced my sister for Texas/Colorado compound girlies met online. They moved to a farming compound community in North Dakota. my poor little nephew had to go there and visit once, just once we let him. He came back, and we said, what do they do there? And his dad was with a new girl, and he said, well, the women are not allowed to question the men. They submit and obey when they're talked to.
Right.
And we said, oh, that's interesting. And I said, what'd you do all day? I talked to him myself. He said, oh, we studied the Bible. We had to go to church. But you know what happened at night? Everybody's all the homeless shelters and weirdo people came in, and they all had weapons in their bag, and they got them out and told me all about how, and I learned how to, like, rob people, and I know how to change my name and change my social security name. And he learned a lot there at the compound.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yikes.
And they submit and obey there, and the children have to submit and obey. If a man is talking, they submit and obey. We got my nephew out of there, but it's like a cult,
yep.
And he still talks about it today, that he knows all kinds of things just from staying there a week, how to break into places, because they go to homeless shelters,
yep.
Pick up people, and he said by day they study the Bible and tell people that they are saved,
wow.
But by the night they sit around and talk and tell stories and teach each other.
I'm a promise keeper. As you know, that's what I mostly do here is submit, right?
Sure.
Screw you.
Oh, by the way, in the movie Airplane, someone turned on their overhead personal fan and it blew everybody.
That's what it was.
It
wasn't rolling down a window.
Okay.
All right. 45 sure. minutes. Get it together, everybody. Cecile Richards, president of Planned Parenthood, is next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Be a reporter, not an opinion person.
It would never occur to me to think of myself as anything other than a reporter.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight the power. We're gonna fight the power. Get free.
Nobody puts Barack in the corner. You made me put my life size cut out of the president away.
Yes, this isn't our studio. We share the studio with other people.
50 minutes after the hour. All right, kids. This is very exciting. I ran into Cecile Richards, president of Planned Parenthood, at the Planned Parenthood party
at the
DNC. And it is like looking directly into the sun. She is so stunning. Good morning, Cecile.
Good morning, Stephanie.
You have a very exciting announcement this morning.
Yes, it's really great here in New York at the Clinton Global Initiative. And we've just announced an expansion of our program. We work with youth in Africa and Latin America, and we're recognized commitment, and it's a very inspiring day.
What now? The Clinton Global Initiative, it's so amazing. I mean, there's always so many amazing people working on amazing things. Tell us what your program is exactly.
Well, you know, we work with Planned Parenthood. We work in both Latin America and in Africa to train young people in sexual health issues, be able to get sex education, contraceptives, prevent the spread of disease. And as part of the Clinton Global Initiative today, we are announcing that we are going to expand this program in both of those continents, and also increase the connection between young people in the United States as well as young people in Africa and Latin America who are working on global health issues. And there's no place better to do it. I just came from a panel that was just mind-blowing in terms of all the work that's happening to improve the health and well-being of young people and women around the globe. And we're happy. Planned Parenthood is just really thrilled to be part of it.
Cecile, interesting that Obama's campaign slogan is forward, isn't it? When you think of how regressive, truly, a lot of these policies that Republicans are proposing around the country. I mean, you must feel like, really? I've got to go back and fight this battle again?
That's what I hear from women all across the country, you know, of a certain generation who are just in disbelief that we're actually arguing about whether young people should get access to sex education or whether women should get access to birth control. It is kind of a little bit unbelievable that we have this incredible global initiative to expand access for women to basic birth control and family planning and young people to information, and yet somehow the U.S. Congress wants to relitigate these same issues.
Speaking of exciting things at the Clinton Global Initiative, Bill Clinton, did he tease a little bit about a Hillary Clinton run for presidency?
Hey, I missed that, Stephanie, but you know what? Very possible. There, of course, a lot of love for the entire Clinton family here.
Yeah.
It was great to be with Chelsea Clinton on this at this particular panel I just left, and I think it just shines through. I think that President Clinton's commitment to global issues, and as you say, I think the whole President Obama's commitment to moving forward is literally permeating, I think, this entire event. Very exciting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, he says she's going to take time, write a book, and then she might run. I don't know about you, but I would be thrilled if Hillary ran for president.
I think, you know, I think what we're seeing in this, even in this election, and I think the power of women, the importance of the women's vote, certainly at Planned Parenthood, we're seeing that this, I think, just explosion of women's involvement and understanding that women's health issues are not second-tier issues, they're fundamental issues. Certainly, I think if Secretary of State Clinton decided that she wanted to have a political future, I think it's there's a lot of support for her, not only here in the United States, but now, of course, around the world.
Cecile, I don't know about you, but just even among my, you know, personal friends and my professional circle, I don't think I've ever seen women quite so angry. You know, whether it's these transvaginal probe, bills, I mean, you name it. It's whether it's some of the rhetoric of the Todd Akins out there. I mean, I just have never seen this sexist kind of rhetoric in my lifetime, at least.
I do think that it seems like every time this fire begins to go out, they just throw some more kerosene on. And I it's interesting. I mean, I think, yes, there is anger out there, but I also think there's huge motivation. I was actually really pleasantly surprised. I was down in Charlotte, North Carolina, of course, for the Democratic National Convention, and I felt like every time the issues were raised of women's access to health care, birth control, support for Roe, certainly the issue of equal pay for women, these issues that somehow seem to be kind of on the ballot, every time those issues were raised, the enthusiasm and support among women and men was overwhelming. So I feel like we're definitely not a second-class citizen in this election, and I think women actually women are going to determine who the next president is.
Cecile, so many highlights, but I loved Lilly Ledbetter, didn't you, at the DNC?
Oh,
I thought
fantastic.
And again, talk about like the divergence in choice there. You know, here's the president who passed Lilly Ledbetter, and Romney says, I'll have to get back to you on whether I would have done that or not, or whether I would.
Lilly who?
I mean, no, I think you're exactly right. I think this is for, and it's interesting that the issues that I think certainly Mr. Romney is trying to say are social issues. These are basic economic issues. You're talking about equal pay. That's an issue that you don't have to explain to women. They understand it. And certainly even issues of access to birth control, which of course has been do that for some reason. Mr. Ryan's now saying on day one they would get rid of the insurance coverage for birth control. Well, the newsflash is 99% of women in this country actually use birth control at some point, and for them it is an economic issue. So I think we're looking at two very different profiles of tickets for this presidential election, one that really does want to move forward, and frankly, Mr. Romney and Mr. Ryan, who seem to want to move us back to the 1950s.
Yep. You know, and speaking of awesome women, I think I've told you the story that I once got to sit on the floor of a living room listening to your mom speak. We were gathered
really?
Like a bunch of little Labrador puppies just hanging on every word, and then I had to stand next to you and Aisha Tyler at the Planned Parenthood party, and despite it shattering my self-esteem,
there was another bit of great news today. I'll just have to give unsolicited advertisement that the play Anne, which was as written and produced by Holland Taylor, is actually going to open on Broadway in March at Lincoln Center. So a very exciting day. Nothing my mother would have loved more than to read the Richards to open on Broadway.
Well, she would be so proud of you. You're doing just such amazing work, and it's just a thrill always to talk to you. And thanks so much for breaking the news here on your exciting Clinton Global Initiative stuff.
Absolutely. Thanks for having
All
me.
All right, Cecile. Talk to you soon. Okay.
There
she goes.
She's so awesome.
Mm-hmm. She is awesome. She's awesome. We have all the awesome women on our side.
We do.
Ha ha. Ha ha, Ann Romney.
Is it wise to piss off 53% of the electorate?
You know,
yeah. It's like if you're trying to win something.
Stop it with your awesome women.
Stop it.
Stop
right.
it.
No.
Stop it.
No.
Stop it.
No. Stop it, Ray.
Okay. Millie in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Millie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was at a training for Obama for America, and the young man who was doing the training was a high school student from Drake. He was 16 years old, started campaigning for Obama in 2004 at age 12.
Wow.
So my point is, when you say that 13-year-olds shouldn't listen to your show, I don't care how they get involved.
Okay.
All right. We were a little on the fence about the 13.
But you know what? That's kind of your sweet spot.
Yeah.
The potty humor and
that's
stuff.
Actually, they're a little too mature
yeah.
for me. Yeah. All right, that's it for us. Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks?
Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks is tomorrow.
Tomorrow. All right, in the meantime, get it to Hotel Beacon. You can call if you need tickets. Mm-hmm. Huge celebrity name I just booked for a panel for the New York City show. And very few tickets left for this Saturday in Seattle, so get it and go.